Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome to The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. We, as I said before, and I say every week, we're delighted to have you with us today to learn truth. And not just spiritual truth, but truth in all its forms, because God is the author of all truth. We encourage you to get a piece of paper, a pencil, and your Bible, and take some notes if you wish. We also encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find loads and loads of good writing by Rick Sterling, well worth the time, and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, which is the primer for Spirit of Truth Ministry. We encourage you to go to our secondary website, our archived website, located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. There you are going to find loads and loads of good reading. We have some biographical information there. We also have a page called New Book that has the introduction to the book if you want to take a look at that. So there's lots of good things there. We also have a presence on social media, on Facebook. It is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in Heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the world seems to be in chaos over truth, over believing lies as if they are truth. Satan is massively present in all of our lives, seeking to train us to think that the truth that we see is the truth that is actually lies, and the truth that he's presenting is actually the truth, the reverse order of things. I pray, Father, that today as we go through our study, that you will bless Rick and the rest of us as we speak. Bless our audience as they listen. And I pray, Father, that your spirit will be all in all in us through the words of Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dr. Don is here. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm out here in my car. It's kind of a overcast morning, but I think we'll have a nice day. So looking forward to a great study. Greetings to our listening audience. And we're just one day closer.
You bet. One day closer.
Whatever it is, whether it's bad or good, we're one day closer.
Well, and I think that we're going to see some interesting things happening Monday or Tuesday. So we'll see.
It's not going to be. It's not really interesting. It's evil, and most of it is just earth shaking.
Yes, earth shaking. You bet.
When you take a look at things. You know, I'm listening to a lot of major things. They said what's happening now is unprecedented in history. Some of this stuff has never happened.
And some of the discoveries that Spirit of Truth Ministry has made is also earth-shaking and earth-shattering once it gets out. So thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And good morning, Rick. It's nice to see you across the way here. You had an injection in your eye this week, so things may be a little fuzzy. I see you have your lighting system on. so that you can read? And won't it be great when we can actually get shut of all this and be able to see and hear and be without worrying about whether we're going to make it through the next day?
Well, that's what they say life is, I guess. You live until you
cork off.
Stop living. I asked Dennis a question this morning. It's a question that has not been asked before, to my knowledge. I've never heard it asked. And it has to do with the reality and or existence of God or gods. And most scientists' view of God, I don't know if it's most, but a lot of scientists' view of God is that the concept of God is a creation of unsophisticated, untechnological, uneducated, uncivilized
boobs
societies who felt the need to worship
something
out in the universe that they couldn't identify, so they made qualities and character of whatever that being or beings were out there and worshipped them or it. And this is where we now have the evidence of divine beings such as Ra, Zeus, Baal, and various gods of Ron. They basically were the same beings whose names meant the same things about the qualities that they had, but in the language of the culture or the nation that was worshiping them. And scientists and even some religious experts today say that those gods never existed. They were only created and worshiped by these ancient peoples because they needed a divine supernatural being to worship. And the thought occurred to me that if that is the case, and that now in our highly sophisticated, technological, educated, scientific world, there are still groups worshiping the same ancient gods. Why? In fact, amongst the secret society groups, the occult groups, they're still worshiping these gods. And most of these people are in positions of authority in the countries of the world. Now, a lot of the, or most of the country's authorities were worshiping gods such as Baal, Ra, or Zeus in secret. But I have seen now there are some public, very public ceremonies giving veneration to Baal, Moloch, Zeus, or Ra, and the whole pantheon of gods. So my question is, if these ancient gods were just figments in the imagination of unsophisticated early cultural groups, why are the highly sophisticated, educated, and far more knowledgeable people and groups now worshiping these same gods and doing their bidding? Could it be that these gods, small g, in other words, they are not a noun god, they are a pronoun god. And if indeed these are real existing beings, then you would need to conclude, conversely, that the God of the quote-unquote Bible is also real. Because the God of the Bible tells us where the gods of the nations had their beginning and who leads them and who has constructed the systems of worship and servitude that these gods, small g, demand. What is happening in the world today is not human caused. It is the result of these false gods who have been worshipped for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of years. And right now, they see their end. And what they are attempting to do is to subdue the whole world under their control, to worship them and completely shut out the true God. God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son. Severing the connection between this earth, which the Father, the Mother, and the Son created. And if the true Elohim, the true gods, are going to destroy the rebels, those who have turned against true God, if they're going to be destroyed, the whole human race is going down with them. So I would say, scientifically speaking, from the evidence still available today, that the theory that all gods worshipped by all cultures throughout all time are not figments of the imagination or with characters created by aboriginal peoples needing to worship some invisible being or beings. But in fact, there are beings on this earth whose intent is evil, and that's why there is evil in the world, because they have servants who are sworn to obey their every command without question. And if they fail to perform exactly as their commands stipulate, their life is taken from them. You've heard of selling your soul to the devil. The devil will give you whatever you want. Try it. The devil will give you whatever you want. But you will pay for it with your life. The devil will command you to do things that at first you may feel uncomfortable with doing. But if the devil has promised you wealth, notoriety, power, authority, well, you'll have it. But then you must operate 100% in accordance with his commands. And this would be why the countries of the world, not all of them, but a lot of the main ones, particularly in the West, are following a path of death and destruction for the people living in their countries, taking life and property, freedom, and free choice. And those who decide that they don't want to do that to the people anymore disappear and no longer can be found. So what am I getting at? What I'm saying is that the God we read about in the Bible is as real as the God Baal or Moloch, who is worshipped by politicians and presidents and prime ministers
and religious leaders
So I'm not talking about some phantasmical supernatural being that doesn't exist. I'm saying that there is a spiritual war going on between the evil spiritual rulers of this world and Almighty God, the Father, the Mother, who is the Holy Spirit, and the Son, who took on the flesh and blood body that we have. And he did so that those who were committed to winning this war and defeating the evil beings and all those who have sold their soul to them could triumph, could be triumphant, could overcome, just as their eldest brother. God's plan has always been to have a people on earth who know them, who worship them in spirit and in truth, and who inform the people of the world of their reality and give them the information about the true Creator so that the people of the world can escape the lies they have been taught since birth and truly know their Creator. In Jeremiah chapter 31, starting with verse 31, and while it's true that this was said to Jeremiah to tell the people in the southern kingdom of Judah what God's plan was when he brought Judah out of Babylon after their 70 years of captivity. What he told Jeremiah was that the northern kingdom, Israel, he would call from the northern countries where they had been scattered. He would call them back to the land of Israel, and they would join with their brothers and sisters of Judah, and they would become one nation under God. And this would happen when these qualifications were met, and we will read them here in Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31. See, the days are coming. It is Yahweh who speaks. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, but not a covenant like the one I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant of mine. And just understand that when he said they broke my covenant, the covenant that bound God of Israel to the people of Israel, when that was broken, it would be necessary to reestablish a covenantal relationship again with those who came out of captivity back to the promised land. So that is why he's talking about a new covenant. He's not saying that it is a different covenant, one that's easier to comply with. It's a new binding of God with his people. And I stress that because Paul, in talking about a new covenant, says it's a different covenant, one that doesn't require all the things that the Ten Commandments, which is the covenant of the kingdom, all the requirements of the Ten Commandments are no longer required. Yes.
May I just read something from Deuteronomy, just so that our audience gets a picture of the what is actually the covenant according to the words of God. This is found in Deuteronomy 4:13. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. Now, who is he talking to? He is talking to the prospective kingdom of God.
Yes.
They aren't yet. But he is saying this, in order to become my kingdom, this is what you must do. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. Now, that's definitive. It's the definition of the covenant.
Also, if we go to Matthew 19, starting with verse 16, and there was a man who came to him and asked, Master, what good deed must I do to possess eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is one alone that is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which? These, Jesus replied. You must not kill. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not bring false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all these. What more do I need to do? Jesus said, if you wish to be perfect, go and sell what you have, own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard these words, he went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. So what must we do to enter into eternal life? Have access to the tree of life? We must keep the commandments. And that last part, which always seems to escape most people's notice, Jesus was not saying that everyone needs to sell everything they have in order to enter into eternal life. He was telling that man that he needed to sell everything he had and come follow him, so that we see that he would meet the two requirements that are given in Revelation 12:17. Keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of the Son of God. So if he had sold everything he had, he would be able to devote his entire life to learning the testimony of the Son of God without the distraction of operating his businesses. So, in fact, what the Son of God told that rich young man was what he tells everyone in Revelation 12:17. So back to Jeremiah 31. So I had to show them who was master. It is Yahweh who speaks. No, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel in those days. It is Yahweh who speaks. Deep within them I will plant my law, writing it on their hearts. Then I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There will be no further need for neighbor to try and teach neighbor, or brother to teach brother. Learn to know Yahweh. No, they will all know me, the least, no less than the greatest. It is Yahweh who speaks, since I will forgive their iniquity and never call their sin to mind. I've read in Jeremiah chapter 3, and you can turn back there if you'd like. And let's see, a little bit further. Here it is. Jeremiah 3 and verse 17. When that time comes, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of Yahweh. All the nations will gather there in the name of Yahweh and will no longer follow the dictates of their own stubborn hearts. In those days, the house of Judah and the house of Israel will join together. They will come from the land of the north to the land I gave your ancestors for a heritage. Now we know that God, the king, the Son of God, took the kingdom away from the Jews, which is in Matthew 21. We know that he said that he would give it to a people who would produce the fruit of it. So the reunification of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom is no longer something that will happen or must happen. Because after their grace period of the 490 years, the king came and informed them they no longer had stewardship of the kingdom, that he was going to give it to those, to a people who would produce the fruit of it. God's plan has never changed. The people that he is going to use to accomplish this did change. It changed to those, anyone who was willing to meet the requirements. And what are the requirements? Revelation 12:17. Keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of the Son of God. And if you hold to the testimony of Paul, you are not holding to the testimony of the Son of God, and period.
It comes to my mind, Rick, that if you ask any Christian, and I mean anyone who calls themselves a Christian, if it is possible to keep the commandments of God, what will they say?
They'll say no, and that it's not a requirement to enter.
They will say it's impossible to keep the commandments of God, and we're not required. So you started in Deuteronomy 31:31. I'm going to go back a chapter.
That was Jeremiah.
I mean Jeremiah 31:31. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy now, and this is chapter 30, and all through this is God telling his prospective kingdom, the people who he is offering the kingdom to first.
But Dennis, you have to understand that God did that for Israel to demonstrate that no flesh and blood could keep the law.
That's
and according to Paul, that's what he says. That Israel demonstrated that it's impossible to keep God's law.
So Deuteronomy 39 and 10. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If, the biggest little word in the English language, if you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And then down the way, just a little bit, see Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. This is where God defines the naming of the two types of prophetic timelines that we now know exist or existed. There's life road and there is death road. So which of those did Israel finally choose? They made their choice. You know, you've heard the expression, make your choice, pay your money and take your choice.
Mm-hmm.
They said to God, to put it bluntly, screw you, God. We want to do it our way. And they did. And in Matthew 21:43 that you just talked about, God took the potential for Israel to be the kingdom of God away from them and has even now today given it to another people.
Yes. But most of the Christian world believes that the Jews are still God's chosen people.
Of course they do. They have to in order to not keep the commandments, because there has to be an entity on this earth who is required to keep the commandments, and by God, they can't do it. And they point to Israel. Here's what God did. In fact, he did this knowingly. Paul says he did it with malice of forethought. He knew that Israel could not keep these commandments, would not keep them, and gave them to them anyway.
Now, and then he decided that, well, if he destroyed everybody for not keeping his commandments, that would be an unrighteous act. So that would make him unrighteous. So he needed to do something to keep that from happening. So he sent his son down here and killed him to remove the curse so he wouldn't have to kill all of the people on earth and then have to live with himself as being an unrighteous God. Now, if you think in any form that that is the truth, that that really happened, that God had to do that, then I don't know what to say.
I have a bridge in Arizona.
The God that you think you're worshiping as Almighty God is not Almighty if he has to do some morbid act like that to undo a curse that he himself pronounced. Tell me, does that make sense at all? But that's exactly what Paul is saying.
And it doesn't make any sense when you consider that God provided a way for the Gentiles to become exactly like Israel in the original condition of it in Exodus, when he's talking about this multitude of people who were not Israelites, who could become just as
Exodus 12, being native born, that they could join as a foreigner. He says if they're circumcised and they keep the commandments, they will be accepted by me as if they were native born.
Right.
A native born is. Yet Paul says that God never included the Gentiles and he had to do this to include it. It's all lies, people. It is all. Paul's teaching is all lies.
Paul conveniently forgot that, and he
was a Pharisee.
He called himself a Pharisee.
Paul is teaching as a Pharisee. He believed what the Pharisees taught, and his whole rationale for trying to help save Gentiles, because that's where he couldn't work with the Jews. They wouldn't have him. So he was working with the Gentiles. He said that's what God called him to work with the Gentiles, and that the Gentiles had never been included in the promise made to Abraham, and that is a bald-faced lie.
And
he has lots of other bold-faced lies also.
I want our listeners to remember that every one of the men and women who followed Paul initially, every one of them left him. He even said, they've all left
me. Well, but Luke didn't leave him.
No,
and
but
I think
Luke wasn't a disciple of Christ. He never met Christ.
Oh, yeah. But none of the disciples ever followed him.
None of them ever. But
Mark did. But Mark saw right away that he was.
And Timothy also followed Paul for a while and also said, I can't take this. This guy's not preaching.
Yeah.
What the disciples are preaching.
So, back to our subject. You can tell that Paul has a very sore place in our soul because he's so widely believed and venerated and loved. In Ezekiel chapter 17, starting with verse 25.
So this is Ezekiel 17:25?
Yes.
Okay. Ezekiel
17, starting with verse 25, or 23, sorry.
Okay, there we go.
23. I will plant it on the high mountain of Israel. It will sprout branches and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Every kind of bird will live beneath it. Every winged creature rest in the shade of its branches. And every tree of the field will learn that I, Yahweh, am the one who stunts tall trees and makes the low ones grow, who withers green trees and makes the withered green. I, Yahweh, have spoken, and I will do it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. He put another parable before them. The kingdom of the heavens is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the biggest shrub of all and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and shelter in its branches. The kingdom of the heavens. The mustard seed is also one thing that we could say is like the stone that cuts itself from or breaks itself away from the mountain, strikes that image at its feet, that image representing the kingdom of the world, controlled and ruled by Satan, the dark lord ruler of the world. And I'll say this. Most people would say, I don't believe Satan. Satan is not my ruler. God, Almighty God in the heavens, is my ruler. You may acknowledge God in the heavens. You may worship the God in the heavens. But if you're still believing and worshiping
and practicing
lies, then those lies did not have their origin in the true God who created all things. Those lies had their origin with the devil. And if you are holding on to lies, when you have been told the truth, God will hold you accountable. Now, if you're worshiping, believing, and practicing lies, and you haven't heard the truth or haven't been told the truth, then God doesn't hold you accountable for that. But if you hear the truth and decide that you still want to hold on to the lies, then God holds you accountable for that.
Rick, how is it possible for good, honest people to accomplish that? You see, there are good people out there who will make that decision, who will say, you know what, I can see where you would think that you know, the words of Jesus by themselves are enough. But, you know, I really think that the prophet or prophetess of my church was sent by God. And even though they speak a little differently, their intent is good.
It's here, Dennis.
So people make excuses for their behavior.
It's here, Dennis.
Yes.
Revelation 22, starting with, let's start with verse 10. This too, he said to me, do not keep the prophecies in this book a secret because the time is close. Meanwhile, let the sinner go on sinning. And the unclean continue to be unclean. Let those who do good go on doing good, and those who are holy continue to be holy. Very soon now, I shall be with you again, bringing the reward to be given to every man according to what he deserves. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who will have washed their robes clean. That's completing the sanctification process, by the way. So that they will have the right to feed on the tree of life and can come through the gates into the city. Those others must stay outside, dogs, fortune tellers, fornicators, and murderers, adulterers, and everyone of false speech, that's lies, and false life, that's lies that are kept in the soul.
In the New American Standard Version, that verse reads, Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying.
Loves and practices lying. And you say, well, but I don't love lies. If you love what Paul says,
you love lies.
Think about it. In, let's see, Revelation 21, is it Revelation 21? Yes, Revelation 21, starting with verse 9. One of the seven angels that had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to speak to me, and said, come here, I will show you the bride the Lamb has married. In the spirit, he took me to the top of an enormous high mountain and showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. It had all the radiant glory of God and glittered like some precious jewel of crystal clear diamond. And then starting with verse 24, the Gentiles will live by its light. The kings of the earth will bring in it their treasures. The gates of it will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And the nations will come bringing their treasures and their wealth. Nothing unclean may come into it. No one who does what is loathsome or false. And false is lies. But only those who are listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. The man and the woman in the garden, had two trees, two special trees. Well, there were many, many other fruit trees that they could eat from. There were two special trees. One tree was the tree of life, and there was no admonition against eating from that tree. In fact, if they ever needed to, they could eat from that tree. And the reason is because they were mortal. They were flesh and blood. They were mortal. They were not spiritual beings. And only spiritual beings are immortal from their creation. Or in God's case, he was never created, but he is a spiritual being that will never die. The man and the woman in the garden were flesh and blood and therefore, they were mortal. But God gave them access to the tree of life, just like we read in Revelation 21 and 22. Access to the tree of life for all those on earth who are flesh and blood. Now, the other tree in the garden had no special quality. It was like all the other fruit trees in the garden. But it was a tree that would teach the difference between good and evil. between righteousness, which is doing what is right, and wickedness, which is going against what is right.
Rick, I think that's a very important distinction. It is not, it's called the tree of life. That's the one that they were given permission. The one that was in the garden that was not that was the tree of the learning of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was significant.
So there's that learning, good and evil. The serpent knew what disobeying God's command would bring about, because he had disobeyed God's command.
He'd already experienced it.
He also knew what the man and the woman in that garden meant to his rule, to his kingdom, to the nations that he had deceived. Now, he had deceived them. God had not told the nations that he had created. Lucifer was the one who came down, and he was tasked with the responsibility of telling the people of God's creation the truth. But he decided that he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be their creator. And so what he did was he told them lies. And they believed the lies, and so, in effect, Satan took control of them through the lies that he told. Now, the man and the woman in the garden had been told by their creator they were never to eat from that tree. Now, he loved them. Of course he did. And they loved their creator. But they had never, until that very day, had any opportunity to entertain a thought that was contrary to what God had told them. If they really knew their creator, they would know that he was trustworthy, that they could trust him beyond any doubt. They didn't trust him beyond any doubt, and therefore they disobeyed his command and obeyed the serpent. And that is what we are dealing with today, the same situation. We're almost there. These are the last days, the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here again today. We will hopefully see you next Friday at 10 a.m. on this same station for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Sabbath, a good day, and we'll see you next time. So long for now.